Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Gio Zelaya. As many of you know me, my family, I run Tacos of Fluffy. I come to you with a different message today. Not the usual post that would be expected, but it is the reality of what me and my family are going through at the moment.
So if you've never been to Tacos El Fluffy, I have. It's on Pace Boulevard. It's a very popular local taco place. When I asked a while back, you know, I know certain taco places don't know other ones, and I ask people what they love, and they say this one, I went and tried it. So, you know, it's a very, very popular local place. The owner, Gio Zelaya, does a video on Monday talking about a problem that they have encountered.
My mom has been here for over 20 years, and she came here illegally, but she's had a work permit since 2015 that she has to renew every year. And this year, when she went up to renew her work permit, it was revoked. And the reason was because of the current administration's immigration policy. And she was given a month to self-deport, which puts us at October 25th.
So, problem, obviously, for them, for their family. I remember going there, and his mom was the one who served us. So, I've met her. And now they say you got to go back to the Honduras, which they knew could happen.
Tacos of Fluffy will be closed from October 20th until the end of the month. And this is happening because of the situation that we're in. My mom has to self-deport by October 25th, and I haven't been able to process the reality. We knew that this was something that could happen, and we have a plan, but now having to execute that plan has been a lot for me and everybody around me, especially my sister, who is a 16-year-old trying to live a normal as possible life as she can.
Dealing with a pretty painful situation. Before we continue with the clips, let's make some observations, okay? First, if you are somebody who adamantly supports what President Trump is doing with the border and immigration, I bet it's hard to listen to. And what your brain wants to do, okay, because your brain does not like cognitive dissonance, is you recognize that this is a painful situation for this family. You might even think this is a bad situation, like an ungood outcome, like an unjust outcome. But if you support the administration's policies, the cognitive dissonance makes you want to say, to throw up excuses and explanations and either not want to listen, feel like this is some just, you know, liberal emotionalism, or, you know, well, you know, she should have worked on immigration, or, you know, it's their own fault, they knew this was coming, or, you know, you want to, that's, okay, I understand that. But sometimes what you have to do is you just have to put your own psychological instincts on pause and just pay attention. You can be a sympathetic human being and say, this is bad, I feel the pain you're feeling, you can still come back after that and say, but I think the policy's right. But if your first instinct is to just knee-jerk, snort in disgust, not want to hear it, I don't need to think about that. Okay, well, that's fear that you're wrong talking. There's something inside of you that is defending your support of Trump's policies by avoiding considering the possibility that some application of those policies might be a mistake. And the reason that you don't take it seriously is not because you know you're right. The reason you don't want to take it seriously and want to avoid the question is because you're terrified you might be wrong. And you're trying to avoid that consideration, trying to avoid that implication. See, here's my thought about this. We live in a society that is democratic, where we have a say in the leaders, we have a say in the policies, we have elections, we sometimes have referenda, we have a constitution. What we think matters. Now, the good part about that is that we have influence. The bad part about that is that because we have influence, we have responsibility. If you live in a tyranny, the bad part is there's nothing you can do about it. The good part is it's not my fault. You know, when you live in a democracy or a republic, I don't care, don't quibble with me about the words, you have power. Therefore, you have accountability. And when the government, whether it's the sheriff or the county commission or the city council or ECUA or the dog catcher or code enforcement or the president's immigration policies, when they do something, you're responsible. I'm responsible. Well, if you didn't vote, you're still responsible because you could have. You know? And if you voted for the other guy, you're still responsible because the system produces this result. Killing Venezuelan drug smugglers in boats off the coast, you're responsible. Supplying weapons to Ukraine to fight off an invasion by a tyrant who wants to reestablish the Soviet Union, you're responsible. Some good, some bad, but you're responsible. That's, I mean, that is the awful, great, painful, glorious truth about democracy. So when you're confronted with a real person in our community who's suffering, and by the way, you can tell any story from the perspective of the person suffering. Somebody's been dealing in fentanyl and meth, and they get sent to jail, they suffer, right? We've got a record number of executions in the state of Florida this year. We're doing a harm to somebody. They suffer. You're responsible. It's okay to see the suffering and say it's still the right thing to do. Just because you have empathy for their situation doesn't mean you have to think that we're wrong or that what's being done to them is wrong. But if you can't even think about it, you should always think about the implications. Take them seriously. You're responsible. You should care about the things you're responsible for. We'll come back to this in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Yeah, we have a couple of accidents to let you know about. Stumpfield Road and Highway 29, we're seeing just a partial roadblock in that area as they try to move it off to the side of the road. Highway 90 and Avalon Boulevard have an accident there, and those are the only two right now. On I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, starting to see those congestion construction delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So back to the Tacos El Fluffy situation where, you know, they say they're closed now. They're going to spend some time with mom and send her to the airport, you know, before she has to leave on Saturday. He recommends, he wants you to call your congressman, okay, and find out why, your senator, and find out, you know, why is this being done. And, of course, the basic premise of what the video is showing is that there's at least some aspect of this immigration policy which is producing a very bad outcome. You know, you've got a person who is here as a part of our society, though not a citizen and not even here legally. Right. There's three categories. You can be a part of society and a citizen. You can be a part of society and not a citizen, but here legally. And then you can be a part of society, but not here legally. And she's not here legally, but she's clearly a part of the society. I mean, she's serving tacos, working, helping her kids. You know, she's embedded. Is sending her back to Honduras good for our society, good for our culture, good for Pensacola? I don't think there's any way you can argue that it's good. You can argue that she's here illegally, of course, although she was participating in the process. I don't know whether she was pursuing citizenship. I have to assume she was trying. I mean, it wouldn't make any sense to imagine she wasn't, but she was definitely here working with a visa year to year. So under that circumstance, you expect to keep doing it, but you also know it could be revoked because it's year to year. Okay, that's fair. You know that. But is it good to lose a productive member of our society who's a part of this intact family? It's not. It's not good. It's not a good outcome. If we're conservatives, and I know not all of you are, but if you're a conservative, you're not a libertarian, you don't believe only in individuals, and you do believe in law, but you also believe in family. Family separation is not good for the family. We believe in families. That's like the core thing about conservatives. We believe in families. Is she a criminal? Well, in the technical sense that she came here legally, yes. Is she doing harm to the society? Obviously, no. So is this good? No, it's not good. Kristi Noem said yesterday that they've arrested almost 500,000 people since January. 70% of them are criminals. Well, that means 30% are not. And they're not just numbers. It's not just 120,000 people or 150,000 people. It's the mom of the owner of El Fluffy. And sometimes it's very easy to hear a story about California or a story about Illinois or a story about numbers. But then when you hear about the mom of the shop owner where you go to buy tacos, it's different. It shouldn't be, but it is different. So in my opinion, this highlights a problem we have with our immigration policy. We used to not deport anybody, almost. You know, I mean, we did some, but not very many. That was bad because the criminals stayed. Now we're deporting everybody. That's bad because the good people are leaving. We're forcing them out. Ideally, we want a policy where lots of people come here that don't drain the safety net, that don't drain law enforcement because they're not creating crimes, but they do produce employee work and they're embedded in our society and they make our lives better. They make the world better for being here. We should want a lot of that. That's good for the economy. That's good for families. That's good for our society. We're not making enough babies ourselves. They got to come from somewhere. You know, all of this stuff. And when we see a policy switch so dramatically to the other side, maybe in the long run it turns out, well, maybe she goes back home and she pursues naturalization and she gets it and she comes back in a couple of years or 10 years. Maybe she doesn't. I don't know. But sometimes when you have to look a person in the eye, even over the, you know, radio or over a social media post or when you go there to order tacos in the future, you know, it makes you think differently about it. And my main thing I want you to think about is don't ignore this or submerge it in your, you know, flurry of justifications. Just take it for what it is. It's a mistake. You know it's a mistake. Sometimes you make mistakes even in doing a policy that's good. And again, just because you're sympathetic doesn't mean that it's a mistake. I'm saying in this case, you should be sympathetic and it's a mistake. It's a bad thing. And you're responsible. Oh, by the way, I know I didn't mention something, but did you know that he is a Navy veteran?
The last weeks have been phenomenal. As a community, we have come together to be able to serve our service members. And I just want to thank everybody that participated and helped out with that. And it was a privilege and an honor to be able to give back to my brothers and sisters in arms.
Does that change anything? No, not really. But it doesn't give you good feelings, does it? I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Are you rushing to an appointment? Have you been late for an appointment? Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed unto man once to die." Unless Christ returns in our lifetime, we all have an appointment with death that none of us will be late for. Possibly the most remarkable thing about Jesus Christ is that he conquered death. He died, but 3 days later, up from the grave, he arose. It is because of his sinless life, substitutionary death, and resurrection from the grave that he now offers sinners like me and you eternal life in heaven with him. I urge you, don't delay. Confess your sin to him and call upon Christ today so that you are prepared for this appointment.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
You take care of your car, right? So why not give your auto loan some TLC? Refinance an existing loan from another institution with PennAir Credit Union and lower your interest rate by up to 2%. Plus, you can skip payments for the first 90 days. In addition to a better rate, you'll enjoy convenient banking and a friendly local team always ready to help. Learn more at PennAir.org/auto-refi. That's PennAir.org/auto-refi. All loans are subject to approval. Offer valid on loan applications submitted between October 1st and December 31st, 2025 only. Call toll-free 1-877-4-PENAIR for complete details.
You can find Subaru dealers all along the Gulf Coast from Panama City to Biloxi, but you'll only find Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. And among all those Subaru dealers, it's Anderson Subaru who's ranked highest by Google in customer satisfaction, 4.8 stars and climbing. Thank you to our loyal customers for your trust and to our incredible team for delivering the care and commitment Subaru owners deserve. You're going to love Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola.
Details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Join Foo Foo Fest today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Guests will be Walker Wilson with Friends of Downtown, Robbie Schrock, Public Relations Liaison, and Nicole Stacy with Pensacola Foo Foo Festival and Visit Pensacola. It's time to foo around and find out all the details and make your foo foo plans by tuning into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10:30. Foo Foo Fest begins October 30th, downtown Pensacola.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
What are your superpowers again?
I'm rich.
Powers again. I'm rich. 7:26 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. I know everybody loves to hate Justice League. I thought it was okay. You know, there were a couple of good lines in it. Let's see. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. If you are on Highway 29 approaching Stumpfield Road, we've still got an accident. We're working right there. And then also Highway 29 southbound as you approach 9 Mile, about a 7 to 9 minute delay. Highway 90 southbound as you come into Pensacola, about a 10 to 11 minute delay. And let's see here, Highway 98 as you go through Midway approaching the Garson Point Bridge, expect about 11 to 12 minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. A couple of texts. Somebody says a sudden radical policy change isn't generally consistent with conservative philosophy. Right, that's true too. Stability is important, and not making sudden dramatic changes. I agree with that. Somebody else says, Andrew, when are you getting into politics? We need more common sense. You're so kind, but I'm probably not electable. Somebody says, for me, I'm not a fan of how our administration is handling deportation. I do agree that anybody has a criminal background probably doesn't have a productive place here in America. That's not to say people can't change, but if we're already limited on resources, why stress the system? But for this mother, you know, do we have any evidence that anything other than that was the problem? And again, the answer is no. Let's see. Somebody says, I'm trying to figure out the math with two kids born here. He's probably 22 or 23, maybe a little older. I'm not sure. She's 16, the daughter. When did the mother come here? Was he born here? Was he naturalized? I don't know the answer to these questions. But, you know, I know he served in the Navy. I'm guessing if he wasn't born here, he was naturalized because of that process would be my guess. But, again, I don't know. Let's see. You can choose the crimes you commit, but you can't choose the consequences, somebody says. Somebody else says, I approve of the current policies in place to deal with illegal immigrants. She gets a free ticket home. She can fill out the paperwork once home and apply to legally come back. Once approved, she gets to come back. Somebody else says, it's very sad, but all who come here illegally know that there would be consequences or could be consequences. They've just become numb to the fact because the rules have not been enforced, which is sad. Yeah, there's a lot of truth in a lot of those different perspectives. 7:28 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. The defense of a man accused of murdering Charlie Kirk is asking the judge to strike a recent response from prosecutors in the case. The motion concerns Tyler Robinson and his request to appear in court in civilian clothing without restraints. They argue that wearing the inmate attire could bias the jury. The defense claims the prosecution is improperly representing the Utah County Sheriff's Office rather than fulfilling its own duties. Robinson is due in court October 30th. A popular TikToker and a federal marshal both recovering after being shot by an ICE officer in South Los Angeles. Officials say the TikToker was an illegal immigrant and he was shot while attempting to flee ICE agents. One of those bullets also struck a U.S. marshal assisting in the arrest. And hundreds of prominent figures, including tech leaders and computer scientists, have now signed a statement calling for a stop to AI superintelligence. That statement says that the prospect of a superintelligence that would surpass humans on nearly all cognitive tasks has raised concerns ranging from human economic obsolescence to potential human extinction. They want a prohibition on AI superintelligence.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Oh, remember we reported to you that in California, they made a law that makes it so you cannot buy the Glocks because they have a certain design that makes them eligible or able to turn them into fully automatic with the Glock switch in the back. There's a couple of models that doesn't apply to, but most of the standards, you know, the Glock 17, the Glock 19, Glock 22, most of your main big heavy, you know, favorite non-concealables basically. Now, apparently, Glock has delisted several of their models, and they're not even going to be making them available anymore. According to reports, widespread reporting on this and also on social media, but I read a very good article and I looked at the Glock website itself. It's not confirmed. There is no certainty. Glock has not officially weighed in on this, so if you saw the reports and were worried and thought they're going to be discontinued, I would be cautious about coming to that conclusion yet.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Long lines at the Louvre in Paris after it reopened today following the stunning heist.
It really was like an ultimate heist in the middle of the day.
Yeah, it almost sounded like a movie.
The section where the robbery took place is still closed. It's a crime scene.
On the hot seat this afternoon, the head of the Louvre breaking her silence since the robbery, grilled by a committee of the French Senate. There will be a lot of questions, especially about security at the Louvre. Not enough surveillance cameras inside and out has been called out by many.
Fox's Greg Pelcott outside the museum. Vice President J.D. Vance meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu today in Jerusalem discussing the ceasefire deal in Gaza. Government shutdown reaches 22 days. It's the second longest shutdown in history. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 68 degrees. It is cloudy this morning in Pensacola. We'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. Construction on the reimagined Palafox project could begin this January if it's approved by the City Council. The $10.3 million project will see Palafox completely redone as the base for what Mayor D.C. Reeves says will be a transformational downtown project. He says some residents have asked why that money, though, couldn't just be used on other things the city needs. He says the money is mostly allocated for specific uses.
If you prefer to do Jefferson Street instead of Palafox, or you prefer to do Main Street instead of Palafox, if that is your complaint, then that would be a valid complaint. If your complaint is, why aren't we doing something completely in another neighborhood, zero of these dollars would allow us to do that. And so that is the biggest misperception, not just on this project, but pretty much any project we do.
The big chunk of that project also being paid for by Florida Power and Light. Bids for the project came in just over the original $9 million budget. If the council does approve the bid, construction could begin in January and would hopefully wrap up by Memorial Day. Motorcycle crash with injuries was reported on Barrancas Avenue in South 3rd yesterday. Channel 3 reports at least one person was seen being transported by EMS there. A 5-year-old boy was taken to the hospital in critical condition after being hit by a truck on Michigan Avenue near Valley Escondido Drive yesterday. FHP says the child was in the road when he was hit. The driver was identified as a 63-year-old Pensacola man. Officials say no charges are pending in the case. The child was taken to the hospital with critical injuries. A brush fire on I-10 in Santa Rosa County burned about 10 acres yesterday right off the interstate. The fire was reported between Avalon and the Baghdad exit. Firefighters were able to contain and extinguish that fire in about an hour. Officials say no buildings were threatened. Had the same thing happened later with gustier winds, though. They say it could have spread a lot faster. So far, there's no word on what caused the fire. The FAA is now taking steps to make sure President Trump is safe when he's in Florida. A round-the-clock, year-round airspace restriction around Mar-a-Lago went into effect on Monday. That'll be in effect even when Trump is not in Florida. Efforts to remove pythons in the Everglades are being supercharged. That, according to Governor Ron DeSantis, he was highlighting the success of the state's python removal program yesterday. He says more pythons were removed this last July than in the entire year before. The governor also called on lawmakers to fund that program every year. He says investing in that strategy will protect the Everglades for many years to come. It's 7:34. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to be looking at a lovely day today, starting off with temperatures in the 60s. Highs today near 79 degrees, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures falling back into the 50s, 53 degrees for the overnight low. For Thursday, plenty of sunshine, high near 79 degrees. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 58. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And we have 68 degrees, cloudy skies right now. Our next news at 8. Breaking news anytime. But first, let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. Still dealing with the accident that happened at Stumpfield and Highway 29. It's off to the side of the road, but I'm still seeing some delays in that area right now on Highway 29. Speaking of Highway 29 southbound, as you approach 9 Mile Road, we're seeing some delays, about a 9 to 11 minute delay. And I'm also seeing a delay right now, I-10 westbound from Baghdad. And right before you get to the Avalon Boulevard exit, I'm seeing some major slowdowns there. And let's see here, I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Pine Forest, seeing about a 7 to 9 minute congestion construction delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thank you very much, John. 68 cloudy right now. Your next news at 8 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. For fiscal 2025, Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella earned total pay of $96.5 million. This is up 22% from a year earlier. Roughly 87% of Nadella's pay from the year came from stock awards. Microsoft stock is up 23% this year, while the S&P 500 has only gained 15%. DraftKings is acquiring predictions platform Railbird. The sports betting giant is preparing to launch a new platform in the coming months called DraftKings Predictions. Predictions markets allow customers to trade on the outcomes of various events in the world of finance, culture, and entertainment. NFL star Travis Kelce is teaming up with activist investor Jana Partners in a bid to help reshape the future of Six Flags Entertainment Corporation. Shares of Six Flags shot up by more than 15% following the news. Futures are mixed. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials gained 218. That's Your Money Now.
Staying healthy after 65 just got easier with Ochsner Novant Health 65 Plus. This means more time with your care team and appointments, more focus on your health needs, plus daily group activities and access to an on-site fitness center. Ochsner Novant Health 65 Plus. Accepting patients at 9 Mile Road with a new location on Mobile Highway now open. Visit Ochsner.org/65plus-Pensacola.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out tomorrow morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this tomorrow morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Let's go. You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Want to score tickets to see Florida State games in Tallahassee? Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app for your chance to win tickets to FSU home games Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Each day you enter brings you one step closer to being in the stands. The winner will be announced live at 5:15 p.m. on Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Download, then tap that app. The News Radio Pensacola app. And get ready to be in the stands for game day with News Radio 92.3.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News, and Mayor D.C. Reeves is on the line with me as we talk to him typically every Wednesday. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thanks so much for having me, Andrew.
Oh, it's always great to have you. Let's start with, I mean, I don't know if it's fun or it's interesting, whatever. You were in Washington, D.C., for a couple of days, and you got to meet with some of the senior staff from the White House or, sort of second or third levels in departments and stuff. And you mentioned that one of the folks that you got to meet with, that you were talking with them about the executive order that President Trump has issued on homelessness, and you want to talk with the Homelessness Reduction Task Force and so forth. What does that mean for us? What did you bring back?
Yeah, it was certainly a great opportunity with about 30 other mayors around the country, and certainly appreciate the Trump administration and the Intergovernmental Affairs Office for helping set that up and what should be first of many to come. And ultimately, it was a kind of a direct line to President Trump's thoughts in these specific departments and how they impact cities. So, again, deputy secretaries from HUD, from the Small Business Administration, USDOT, ICE, and then in the case of the homelessness executive order that came out this summer, was his domestic policy team. And, there's just a lot of interesting things that it's one thing to read an executive order. It's another to hear the why. I think that goes for my job and everybody else's job. And what the priorities are going to be. And so on the plus side, certainly this administration wants to put money towards this, that there's been some concerted efforts of trying to reduce the amount of the unhoused population, and they're going to do that with dollars. And the thing that really seemed to be the linchpin and something we'll be discussing with all of our amazing homeless reduction groups here is – there's going to be a specific focus in any treatment, any nonprofits, any of these organizations, NGOs that are going to be getting federal funding to reduce homelessness, is there's going to be mandatory mental health or addiction treatment. In other words, and I'm not saying that that's an issue here, but as much, but in bigger cities, what was happening is there were organizations getting tons of money, and maybe it would be a low barrier shelter, and the treatment aspect of the low barrier shelter would be optional. And so what they said was, one, we didn't have any way to track if the dollars were being used efficiently vis-a-vis successfully, like getting people off the street. There was no tracking method. And then second was, this administration's not interested in the idea of funding for this amount of money organizations that may allow that type of treatment to give that person truly the hand up that we talk about, and that it's optional, and that it just really become a rotating, cyclical issue where someone comes in, gets a bed for a week, goes back out on the street, comes back in, et cetera. Yeah. So that they're going to have a hyper focus within that EO that he put out in July on making sure that the dollars are going. And they said, listen, it might be to fewer groups. It may not be to 35 groups. It might be to 5 or 7 groups, and giving them more dollars to attack these issues. And so we'll continue to have that conversation with them. They're looking for cities and sites like ours, these small mid-market communities where they can be successful. And so that was certainly good news to hear as well.
Okay, and I thought I heard you say, I just want to sum up to make sure that I did hear you say it accurately, that they are so goal-oriented on getting a truly good outcome that saying no to some groups in order to get better outcomes for the ones that they are actually willing to help, even if it costs more per person or something like that, it's better than scattering the money around and not really getting the outcome. That's the general gist, right?
Right. With the fundamental anchor that you must be getting mandatory addiction or mental health treatment. You can't be using funds for just the bed and not requiring those folks using the bed to be participating in those if they need them.
Which is perfectly, in my mind, perfectly fine for people to do through their own charity, but if the government's going to do it, they're going to do it a certain way, and that makes sense to me. Right. The Palafox, reimagine Palafox. That's been obviously the big discussion because I know a lot of people are concerned about what this is going to mean if we close down Palafox for a significant period of time in order to resurface and redesign it. But you gave a lot of good information yesterday, especially trying to give perspective on the issue of, well, if we're spending all this money, it means we have all this money to spend. Why don't we do something else?
Yeah, right. And again, I think that's my number one explanatory diatribe this day and age with any project happening in the city. And this is a perfect example. As I explained to the media yesterday, not $1 of the 10.3 million pros, not one, can be spent. It either needs to be spent, in the urban core CRA geographically, which is just you kind of generally the downtown area. It cannot be, not a dime of that money can be spent anywhere else. And all of the other funding is either from FPL, which is their $3 million obligation. If you go to Palafox right now, there's all those utility cuts in the road. They owed us money to finish their project, which we had them pause, and they just gave us the check. So that money can go to nothing else than, other than Palafox. And lastly is Complete Streets money. So those are the only three buckets of money that are coming for the $10.3 million. In other words, if you had a preference to do Alkene Street instead of Palafox Street, and that is your argument to say that's why we shouldn't do it, then that would be legitimate. Saying why we don't do something else in some part of the city would be illegal based
like
on
Bay Bluffs
on
Park
the
or something,
and,
right.
and the funding plan. Correct. And so that is the biggest misnomer in my job, is that someone reads a headline that says a project costs X amount, and that means why aren't you, Mayor, why is that a priority? Why aren't you doing this? Well, because that would be illegal to do whatever you propose, because those dollars aren't allowed to be spent on those things. So Andrew, I talked about it at the Hollis T. Williams meeting last night. They were talking about additional funding for phases. And they said, well, what does that mean for tax dollars? And what I explained was there's $22 million of property tax that goes into our general fund that doesn't go to CRA. And there's $48 million of expense for just police and fire. So if you're concerned about property tax going to Palafox or going to Bay Bluffs, rest assured there isn't general fund property tax revenue going to those projects, because we can't even cover half of our law enforcement expense with our general fund revenue. So, so we always have to be looking for grants or be using CRA dollars, et cetera, to be able to fund capital projects like this. And if you go around the city, whether it be American Magic, Fricker Center, Hollis T. Williams, Palafox Street, this is all of that work that we put in a couple of years ago that in many of these, not in Palafox, but in the others, where we were getting $100+ million of grant money. This is the fruits of that labor that we're talking about in these huge transformational projects. It is not property tax or money that can be conveyed to whatever project they prioritize.
I just don't think that it's fair of you to try to explain how government actually works when people want to believe it works how they want it to work. I mean, it's just it's completely irrational of you, Mr. Mayor. We're talking to D.C. Reeves, Mayor of Pensacola. What's that?
It's a losing battle.
the job is the job. You know, sometimes it's do, sometimes it's educate. Hang on for just a second. We got John Pickens with Traffic on the Fives. John?
That's right. And, no accidents to report to you. Highway 90 southbound coming into Pensacola is experiencing about a 12 to 15-minute delay. And I-10 westbound, right there between the Baghdad and Avalon exit, is experiencing some delays due to an earlier accident. Other than that, we look good. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Five.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. And I jest, but it is true. I mean, you know, people don't know. And if they don't know, they don't know. And that's all you can do with it and try to educate them. That's just the way it works. One of the obviously big story, ongoing story, is dealing with the Baptist property. And as I understand the situation, is you've got a handful of properties that you're not quite sure what to do with. The county has expressed an interest in two of them, and you have basically said, well, I don't want to wait 5 years to get something done. I'm interested in seeing if somebody else is interested in those properties. Let's list them. And while we list them, let's be open to conversations with the county about how they can use them. And let's just kind of see what happens so we know where we stand. We can always say no to anything. Is that the idea?
Yeah, perfectly described. There was conversation of, well, what about putting signs in the yard? And let me make a clear delineation. Property going on the market for the main campus that we've been talking about for 2 years,
right.
The 38 acres. All we're talking about is the additional property that was conveyed from Baptist to the city in the last few months. And so we're talking about three smaller properties on the periphery of Baptist. But yes, you described it exactly correct. Let's see what the market bears. We were left with a $1.5 million delta. We were expecting to get funding from the county. We did not. And so the whole spirit of Baptist, again, us and having a good partnership, saying, hey, we're both staring at a $2 million delta here. How do we want to handle this? That was kind of the way we decided to handle it. And I appreciate Baptist for stepping up and saying, hey, well, here's some additional property that could help cover some of that gap. So that is the whole genesis of why we even have these properties to begin with. And yes, you were correct. We've been in conversations with the county. And listen, it's not whether we have to have something built there in 5 years. The conversation was $510,000 for a building that was assessed for $900,000 by the property appraiser.
Right.
If we're going to be fellow partners with Escambia County on something like a community center, I'm all for that. But the whole discussion the entire time has been to do it quickly, not to do it in 5 years. And so if we're going to help subsidize a community center by selling it at a discount, then we would want to see action happen faster. And I know Commissioner May, I know Commissioner Kohler, we've talked to them both directly about this. I know that they both understand where we're coming from, that this shouldn't be, you know, a surprise, nor they, I think they do understand that we all want to get something done a little faster than that. So, but still open to conversations with the county, and actually have another meeting with a healthcare provider today to see if there's, you know, whether it be a donation. So we're open to donating property. We're open to selling it at a discount. We're open to selling it at market rate. We've got a $1.5 million delta, and we want to do good things in the community. And we'll find that right mix of the way to handle all of that.
Yeah, in particular, I mean, it doesn't have to be through the county that you do a healthcare facility or that something like that happens. That's what I liked about what you were saying yesterday. Hey, just a quick thing, and I know this is a completely sideways suggestion, but I'm gonna pass it along because it was offered to me by a listener, and I'll just give you a chance to comment. So 38 acres of green space is coming when the demolition is done, right? Roughly, that's what we're gonna have.
That's right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How many acres does it take to build that soccer complex you've been talking about?
I have heard this theory before, and way less than that.
Convention center.
But I can tell you as we are looking around before any rumors begin, as we're looking around for a downtown soccer complex, this parcel at this point is not in that consideration.
Okay.
Not because it doesn't have the acreage, but because of, you know, what we've told our community, certainly, that we want to be housed and anchored with residential education and all of that. But what I also know is people ask, well, when they knock the building down, what's going to be left? Part of the obligation of the demolition is to go back and resod and do all these other things. It is just going to be the broken foundations of a building that once was. There's some obligations. So at least in the meantime, you would be looking at a big green space. So at least, Andrew, you can go play soccer there.
You're not going to do like the county did and put a fence up around OLF-8 and make it so nobody can use it? You're going to leave it open?
Not that I'm aware of. So, we'll find out. You know, I'm going to let experts tell me who is and is not allowed to be on what when.
Speaking of that, if you time it right, maybe if OLF-8 gets cut up and worked on, maybe you can just take grass from there and put it down at Baptist. You know, maybe the timing will work. I think you'll probably need the grass before they're willing to get rid of it. Anyway.
You are watching out for people's tax dollars all the time.
I'm always trying to solve all these problems, right? I'm trying to get these government agencies to cooperate with each other. I did figure that was going to be your answer, and I wanted to, you know, make sure people knew that was the answer, that no, that's not the intent at this point for sure. All right, we always like to end to put the soccer complex there. We always like to end with a bit of a lightning round for you. The first question for you is, recently it was Global Hand Washing Day. When you wash your hands, Mr. Mayor, hot water, cold water, mixture, soap, but more importantly, how long?
It's whichever handle I hit, you know, so, it's usually, you
random.
Know, so I'm not a stickler about, blazing hot water.
All right.
Ever since COVID, I do have now a much better human counter in my hand. So, the actual seconds depends on how long I've got, before whatever meeting I'm in, but I mean, I give it at least a good 10.
Oh, okay. So fairly long. Okay. You know, fairly devoted. I got you. I mean, you're not scrubbing up for surgery, but you're not just passing it under the water and saying you did it.
Correct.
Okay. Sounds that irritate you. There's actually a disorder of sorts that has now become identified. Mesosonia, I forget what it is. Anyway, but is there a sound that that bothers the mayor, distracts the mayor? You cannot function when that sound is happening.
Man, you are setting me up for like a city council, button joke or something.
No. Okay, can I suggest
no.
The clanging of the bracelets on the mics in the city council meetings I twitch. So anyway, go ahead. But you have your answer.
Well,
what was your answer?
I'm too scared of Councilwoman Broughton. You're gonna have to bring that up to her yourself.
She is an imposing person.
So,
she's so sweet.
So, you know, Anything high pitch, I just is. I mean, okay. Like a high pitch scream, I think is ultimately distracting for me. But no, I don't have a specific sound that I can think
All
of.
All right. Any fear of the dark with you, whether it's in the basement that they don't have in Florida or somewhere else? And related, do you sleep with a nightlight on of any kind?
No nightlight. No darkness issues.
Okay.
I'm thankfully by 41, I've been able to, live with that.
I'll take your shade. That's
that
fine.
Phase, but are you nervous?
Oh yeah. I don't like the dark.
Are you nervous in the
dark? I don't like the basement. You know, when I have one, I don't enjoy that at all.
This is why we have such incredibly lit, parks around our city. You know, I don't know. I can't speak for other
to towns, serve all but, the citizens. You know, is, that's right.
Andrew, that's why you don't have to worry about that if you come good. Inside the city limits here in the beautiful city.
Nice wrap on that. I appreciate it. Mayor D.C. Rees, look forward to the meeting tomorrow night, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week, sir. Thank you so much for the time, as always.
All right. Thanks so much.
John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Let's see here. If you're on Highway 90 southbound headed toward Pensacola, you'll see about a 5 to 7 minute delay in that area just due to congestion. Also, 98 westbound as you approach Gulf Breeze, you're going to see about a 7 to 9 minute delay in that area. Other than that, we look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the
five. Somebody texted misophonia. We should have been able to remember it because it reminds us of the, but I mean, thank you. You guys are so smart.
I know.
I'm Andrew McKay.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCoast Summit returns October 29th to Pensacola Beach. Presented by IT Gulf Coast and Blue Angels AFSIA chapter, get connected with top-level cybersecurity, AI, and emerging technology experts. The conference features a free career fair, prizes, and an amazing welcome reception on Pensacola Beach. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Visit itenwired.com for tickets.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Pensacola knows the Blue Angels.
The Blue Angel, vertical.
We feel the thunder. We look to the sky. But the stories behind the blue and gold, those are just as breathtaking. Were they ever known as the Blue Lancers? Did air show lore really include dogfights with Japanese Zeros? And what happened the day Fat Albert became a hero over open water? Join us for the History of the Blue Angels, a special series that climbs through the myths, the milestones, and the moments that made America's Flight Demonstration Squadron a legend. Weekdays at 6:15 a.m. and 4:15 p.m. Now through November 14th, presented by our partners at Dale's Marine Construction, your Shoreline Solution Company, and Lambert's Moving Systems, moving the Gulf Coast forward for over 100 years. It's the History of the Blue Angels every weekday morning at 6:15 and afternoons at 4:15, right here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Love electronics? Join the award-winning team at ADX Communications, home of Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN 1330, and Pensacola's Playlist. We're looking for an experienced electronics technician who can keep our stations running smooth, from the studio to the transmitter tower. Competitive pay, great benefits, and a fun, fast-paced team environment. Apply today at catcountry987.com. That's catcountry987.com. ADX is an equal opportunity employer.
Want to win tickets to Florida State home games? Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
Chocolatey tasting Cocoa Puffs, a part of this balanced breakfast with 10 important vitamins and minerals.
That's right, Mr. Robert Kennedy Jr. Cocoa Puffs is health food. 7:59 on News Radio. It said it right there in the ad. 10 essential vitamins and minerals. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David, that's why we all like it, right?
Well, the state of Arizona has now filed a lawsuit to force House Speaker Mike Johnson to swear in Congresswoman-elect Adelita Grivolta. The Democrat won a special election about a month ago and has yet to be sworn in. Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays is accusing Johnson of delaying in order to prevent a vote on the Epstein files. And the Los Angeles Dodgers are the heavy favorites to win the World Series this year, Andrew.
Yeah, I know.
Stream us at NewsRadio.com.